Revelation chapter 22, verse number 8. Wow, what a closing verses of the Bible. Please stand with me for the reading of the Bible. You'll enjoy these. This is the closing words of John and then the closing words of Jesus Christ. What a person to have the last word in the Bible. Amen. Verse 8, and I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets and of them which keep the sayings of this book. Worship God. Boy, everyone in this room, every preacher in America learned something from that right there. There's only one that deserves praise and glory and honor and worship, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Bow at the feet of God the Father. Don't bow at the feet of any man or any angel. Verse 10, and he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with thee to give to every man according to his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter into the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and adulterers and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written therein. And he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. I'm sorry, I skipped a line there. Pretty important line. Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. I didn't want to miss that. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, bless our time. Thank you, Lord, for these people that have taken of their time. Lord, they're honoring you today. They're giving back what is rightfully yours. Lord, they've come to your house. They brought their King James Bibles. They want to hear from God. And so, Lord, you work through men and you manifest your word through the preaching. But, Lord, we want them to see Jesus. And so, Lord, bless our junior church, our primary church, everything that's going on. And may you be glorified above all things. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Been working on this message, thinking about it for some time. So I decided, as a way of introduction, I would have a little experiment. I would take a little bit of time going through the mail, more time than I usually go through. I don't know what it is about a church mailbox, but we get more junk in a church mailbox. And this is what happens. It lands on my desk, and then I pull the trash can right beside me, and 9 out of 10 things go like this, you know. But I thought I'd take a little more time, and I thought, I just wonder in 1 month's time how many invitations to something come to the mailbox of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, where someone's either inviting us corporately or inviting us corporately. They want to let our church know about some event or something that's going on, or many of these are directed personally to me where they're saying, Brother Ross, we'd love to invite you to this. And so I begin to set them things aside. In a month's time, we've received 47 invitations to something here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And a lot of these things are things that either would not work in our schedule or things I wouldn't want to go to. And so that's why most of them go there. But you know what? Everybody that sent that invitation, the one thing that, listen, I may not choose to come, but the one thing that everybody that sent an invitation can say is this: well, you can't say you weren't invited. You can't say you weren't invited. As I knock on doors, and we try to do that, I mean this, every week of our lives we go out there in our church as a whole. You know what? It's exciting to think that as from where I'm standing right here, if you'll go back, many of you will not see this unless you purposefully do it because it's not on the normal travel pattern of you leaving. But if you were to go down this aisle and look against this wall, there's a big map that shows where our Operation Occupation ministry reaches out to. And from about 21, 22 miles from right where I'm standing in every single direction, men and their wives and their children and some families working together have chosen part of that map, 20 different mission fields, and said, you know what, we'll take an invitation, we'll take the gospel. We will knock on every door. The folks that are there, we'll invite them personally. For the folks that aren't, we'll leave an invitation hanging on their door. And I thought to myself, well, you know what? 20 miles, 21 miles from where I'm standing in all directions, they may not decide to come. But you know what? They can't say that they weren't invited. By the way, that's the name of the message. They can't say that they weren't invited. They can't say that they weren't invited. You cannot say you were not invited. I want to draw your attention to verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say what? Come. Come. And let him that heareth say. Come. And let him that is athirst come. Come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's amazing how many times in the Bible God the Father issues this specific and supernatural invitation to simply come. It's wonderful to study the earthly life of Jesus Christ and hear how many times he speaks this one word invitation to those around him to simply come. Many of these invitations were directed at those who had already believed in him. It's not just important to come to Christ, as we're going to focus on this morning when it comes to the matter of salvation, but that's not the only invitation you get. And by the way, there's other invitations that Christ gives to believers, but you cannot claim those invitations until you accept the most important invitation. And that's what we'll preach on this morning. But there's other times where Jesus says to a group of people, come. In Mark 1:17, Jesus saith unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And he was speaking this to save people. And aren't you glad that in addition to his invitation for salvation, he says, hey, you came for salvation. Why don't you come and follow me? And you know what? I can make you to become fishers of men. I'm glad I accepted that invitation as a young man and said, Lord, as to the best of my ability, I'm going to spend my life trying to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ with people around me. He gives the invitation to come and be his disciple in Mark 8:34. When he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. So Jesus said, I want you to be fishers of men. Well, I want to do that. Wait a minute. Have you accepted the first invitation? If you have, then you qualify for the second invitation. I want to be a disciple. Have you accepted the first invitation? What's that one, preacher? We'll get to it. I like this. For those that are fisher of men and have denied themselves, took up their cross and followed Christ, God understands that from time to time, we're also human and there's going to be frailty and there's going to be weakness and at times we're going to get tired and heavy laden. So what does he say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Mark chapter 6, he tells the apostles, come ye yourselves apart unto a desert place and rest a while. You know what? Aren't you glad that the same God that says, hey, get busy going after men and get busy doing my work and get busy fulfilling the Great Commission and get busy following me and get busy carrying your cross. Aren't you glad that he also understands that there's times that we need to just come apart or else we'll come apart. And you know what he says? Come on. Not only will I ask of you labor, and by the way, Jesus doesn't apologize for that, but I'll see that I give you the strength that you need when you begin to become heavy burdened or tired. I love this invitation to come and bring the children. In Luke 18, 15 through 17, they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. And I want to just stop and say a huge thank you to those that every single week knock on the door of the children that ride Blessed Hope Baptist Church buses and say, hey, come to church this Sunday. Come to church this Sunday. Come to church. You know what you're doing? You're simply echoing the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't understand a church that thinks that children are a bother. I don't understand a church that doesn't have a burden to reach the next generation. I don't have an ounce of patience with the church that'll spend thousands and tens of thousands and sometimes hundred thousands of dollars enhancing their buildings and enhancing the creature comforts of those that attend, but won't buy a bus and put a tank of gas in it and go try to find some children and bring them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He said this, come and I will make you fishers of men. Come, follow me and be my disciple. Come when you're tired and I'll give you rest for your soul. By the way, when you're coming, bring the children, bring the children, bring the children. Aren't you glad that Jesus loves the little children? All the children of the world, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Oh, folks, if you want your heart restored, you know what? I guess I can't let everybody do it, but I almost want to just assign you a week and give you permission. This is your Sunday. You get a skip out of the auditorium and just go stand in the back of primary church or stand in the back of junior church. And I promise you, when you watch these people that pour their life into these children, because it's not just, by the way, the ones that go out and bring the children in. It's the Sunday school teachers that are waiting for them and have studied their lessons and are bringing the gospel and the word of God down to a level they can understand it. It's the army of ladies that go back to that nursery and care for those babies. It's the team that we have right now out there conducting junior church. It's the team that we have downstairs conducting primary church. Listen, people can talk all they want to about reaching the next generation. This is what I want to say to every church out there. Put your money where your mouth is. We can say something's important, but you know what we really think is important? What we're willing to sacrifice to do. I just needed to get on a soapbox there for a while, amen. I'm tired of churches shutting down their bus ministry. I'm tired of people more worried about keeping a millionaire happy than reaching a bus kid down the street. I think that, you know what, we ought to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and learn from him. And you know what, he said, you bring them kids. Disciples were saying, no, he's busy. He heard about it. The Bible says he was distraught. He was distressed. He was annoyed. And he said, don't you keep those children. Hey, you know what, you bring them on in here. Amen. And then one of these days, we're going to hear Jesus say this last come up hither. How about that? Revelations 4, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was, as it were, of a trumpet talking with me, and said, come up hither, and I will show thee things that must be hereafter. Of course, that's a great picture of the rapture. Wow. Folks, listen to me. As Christians, we're going to be able to, and we can if we want to, we can accept every one of those invitations, because everything I just listed are invitation to Christians. But before you can accept any of those invitations, you must receive an invitation from Christ to accept him as your personal savior. Before you can ever receive an invitation to become a fisher of men or become his disciple or bring in children or come apart, before you come apart, before you'll ever hear the command from Jesus to come on that day when he raptures the church, listen, if you have any hope of hearing those, you must first of all accept the simple invitation to come to salvation. Let me have you look at the verse again, verse 17. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And I love this. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Folks, I promise you, there's more than a sermon's worth right there in that. There's a couple sermons worth. And so you pray for me as we look at this verse. Number one, the salvation invitation will come from within and without. Aren't you glad about that? Look at that first phrase. And the Spirit, capital S Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, Hey, that's the Holy Spirit of God. That's the third member of the Trinity. And you know what he's going to say to a lost person? He's going to say, come, come. You know, when Jesus left, he did not leave us comfortless. We read about the Holy Spirit and his promise of sending the Holy Spirit in John chapter 16. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth is that it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Listen what his ministry is. And when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. By the way, that's very important what was just said there. He said the Holy Spirit will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Those three ingredients are very important and should be foremost in the pulpit ministry of any church that's a Bible church. How can the Holy Spirit reprove men of these things if they never hear of these things from the pulpit? Too many of our churches and too many of the so-called sermons in these churches are nothing more than motivational speeches. There's many churches you can stand outside their front door and watch all the people walk in and not a one of them will carry a Bible. You know why? They've learned they don't need one. They don't need it in the pew because it's never mentioned from the pulpit. Can you imagine going to church and never having the preacher even reference the Word of God? And yet I promise you it's happening in the majority of churches in this area. You know what? We need to give the Holy Spirit something to work with. How about that? It says this, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and of judgment. Now think about those three things. Look at verse 9. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now think about what the message is. Can I just boil the message down? And if this is not elements in the pulpit of the church, then you know what? It needs to have a revival in that pulpit. We still need preaching against sin. We still need preaching against sin. We need preaching against sin. What's the problem with following this new modern pattern of ministry? You know what they've done? They've said, well, if we're going to get people to come to church and keep coming to church, then we can't offend them. If we offend them, they won't come back. And so what offends lost people? Well, maybe it'd be better if we didn't mention their sin. Well, folks, listen to me. If they never hear about their sin, how are they going to experience Holy Spirit conviction? And too many pulpits, I mean it. You could sit in some churches for a month and never even hear the word sin mentioned. That is not a Bible preaching church. And if you do hear it mentioned, it's just kind of mentioned in an umbrella way. And no specific sins are ever mentioned. Well, my preacher still preaches on sin every once in a while. Well, how general is he? When's the last time he called abortion a sin? When's the last time he called homosexuality a sin? Come on, when's the last time he called robbing God of the tithe a sin? Come on, folks, we need specifics in our life. When is the last time? Listen, we've got all the names for the sins that the world has handed us. Well, that person is an alcoholic. Not according to the Bible, he's a drunkard. Say, preacher, that's harsh. No, that's old-fashioned King James Bible holy preaching. Okay, an alcoholic believes he has a disease. A drunkard knows he has a sin. And that Jesus can save him from that sin. He wants to go to a 12-point program to manage his disease, or you can come to Jesus and be healed of your sin, forgiven of your sin. Yes, we need to get back to being plain, shotgun straight on this preaching of sin. But wait a minute, the sinfulness of man must also be preached with the righteousness of God. Listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the righteousness, come on, the righteousness of God, when we compare the sinfulness of men and the righteousness of God, then we soon figure out that we've got a problem. This is for those that are religious but lost. This is for those that do a lot of good works but are lost. This is for those that help a lot of people but are still lost. Well, I'm not all that bad, they might say. Preacher, you're acting as if I'm a sinner. That's because you're a sinner. Well, I don't think I'm that bad. You know why? Because you are comparing your life to other people's life. And you can always find someone worse than you. But you know what the Holy Spirit does? He takes our lives, come on, all of us, pulpit and pew, he takes our lives and says, let's compare your so-called righteousness to the righteousness of Almighty God. And you know what? The Bible says that in God's eyes, our righteousness, even the good things we do, are as filthy rags. You know why? Because we can't even keep sin out of our good works. Come on, we'll do something good for somebody and then we want to brag about it and mention it. Come on, pride gets in. I'm not saying it's wrong to do it. We do the best we can, but I want you to understand this whole thing about this man don't need Jesus because he's not all that bad. He's comparing himself to others. He's not comparing himself to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of sin, of righteousness, and of what? Judgment. Come on. If you want to create an atmosphere where people get saved, preach on sin and be specific. And then preach on the holiness and righteousness of Almighty God. And then you know what? Warn them of coming judgment. That's why we need to preach messages on the great white throne judgment. Come on now. I think we need to preach more messages on every man shall give account of himself to God. I think we need to preach more messages on it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. I think we need to maybe visit the verse, he that being often reproved and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. It's like the entire world wants to find a church that will give you one side of God, emphasize the what they think are the positive characteristics of God, and never have mentioned the fact that God also, yes, he's a God of love. He loves people. He also hates sin. Yeah. I said he loves people, but he also hates sin. I said he loves people, but he also hates sin. You know what? Let's preach the God of the Bible. Let's not create a false God, a one-sided God. Same God that created heaven created hell. He created it. By the way, he created it for the devil and his angels. Wasn't his intent or wish that any human being go there. Well, I don't think God, a loving God, would send anybody to hell. It's not God sending you to hell if you die in your sins. It's your sinfulness that is sending you to hell and your refusal to humble yourself and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. Don't you put that on God. I'm a little tired of people being bitter at God, mad at God. You know what, folks? God created paradise. We messed it up. He made a perfect earth. We messed it up. If we want to be upset at somebody, let's go look in the mirror, be upset at our sin, but let's not be upset at God. Now think about this. The Holy Spirit of God, this Spirit, you know what he's saying? Come. How does he say that? When there's preaching on sin, he's saying, come, come. You can be forgiven of that sin. When we're compared to the righteousness of God, you know what? We fall into despair and we think, I could never measure up. And you know what? God, the Spirit comes and whispers, you don't have to worry about it. Jesus paid it all. He already paid for all of those sins. He's already forgiven you. By the way, he will impute your sin to his account, already paid on Calvary, and impute his righteousness to your account. That's how you get a measure up. That's what gets you through the door. And by the way, if you don't want to do that or you refuse to do that, you're too haughty and proud to humble yourself, then you know what? You better be aware of a place called hell. I think there needs to be more preaching on Luke chapter 16 in our pulpits. I'm going back in my mind. I mean this. I've done a lot lately, and I keep thinking to myself, you know, we all want to talk about what God did back in the 60s and the 70s and the great church planting and citywide revivals and masses coming to Christ and bus ministry started, Christian school, church planting all over America. And I think to myself, those old evangelists that raced across the country in that day, folks, you could put a tent up, didn't really matter who you invited, you were going to hear the same subjects. They were going to come in and preach on the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were going to preach a message on backsliding. You know why? Because every one of us get backslidden sometime. They were going to take one night, and you know what? It was going to get serious and dark and real because they were going to preach on hell. And it seems like as we've just lost those subjects because we're so worried about offending somebody, or we're so almost apologetic that these things even exist in the Bible. Listen, folks, the reason God tells us about hell in the Bible is to urge us, to push us to a decision to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason that the second coming, and we're not told the times and seasons, and the date's not given, is to put an urgency in the hearts of those that are lost that Jesus could come today. Don't mess around. Listen, folks, I ain't got time to go the rest of the book of Revelation, but if you're unsaved here today, listen to me, and the rapture were to happen today, you do not want to be on this planet for the next 7 years. You better go home and read the book of Revelation front to back. It won't take you that long. Come on, it won't take you that long. And you better think about, do I really want to be here after the rapture when Jesus comes and takes his children home? Do I want to live on this world? I'm going to tell you right now, it'd be a lot better to be up there during those 7 years than to be down here. The Spirit of the God will invite you to come. The Bible says the Spirit says come, but it also says the Spirit and the bride. When it talks about the bride, it's talking about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talk about those of us that are born again. So you know what? If you aren't saved, the invitation will come from within and without. Man, I know the Spirit of God's doing his job. Come on, we got to ask ourselves, this is fair. Are we doing our job? Children of God, we ought to be busy. Why do you have these invite cards? Why do you keep mentioning these things? Because we're supposed to give out invitations. Amen. We're supposed to say, come. Come. Think about this. Come on, look right up here. Could any of us be sitting here possibly, I pray not, guilty where we're looking back at the last 7 days with all this going on at Blessed Old Baptist Church, and we did not look at one person since last Sunday in the eyeball and tell them, would you come with me to church? Would you come to church this Sunday? Folks, listen, I'm preaching a salvation. Come on, let me help Blessed Old Baptist Church for a minute, okay? Preaching a salvation message. I know it's going over on live stream. I know it'll be on YouTube. I know God has its purposes or he wouldn't let me to preach it. But you know, it's a little hard for a preacher to get up and passionately preach a salvation message without a visitor in our auditorium, except one that I know is already saved. We need to do our job. We need to passionately do our job. I have no doubt that we probably have some visitors in junior church and we probably have some visitors down in primary church. But folks, come on. It's not just children that need Jesus. Teenagers need Jesus. Come on. Junior hires need Jesus. Adults need Jesus. The Spirit is working within. Are we working without? Think about that woman at the well. Once she accepted Jesus as her Savior, realized who Christ was, believed in him. The Bible says the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And by the way, if I took the time to go back there, we examined the past. If we examined the sinfulness, if we examined the character of this woman, you would not think that she would probably be one that we would imagine being a soul winner. But you know what? Jesus can change everything. And you know what? When she realized that she had found the Messiah, and when she had drunk of that living water he offered her, you know what? It was a natural, normal thing. And it should be a natural, normal thing for born again people to want to look at a lost person and say, come, come, come. Number one, salvation. Invitation will come from within and without. Number two, the salvation invitation must be accepted individually. Notice it says, and let him, not they, let him that heareth say come. So the Spirit and the bride say come. And then the next phrase, and let him that heareth. That's kind of interesting. You know, the Spirit is saying come and the bride's saying come. But what are you going to say if you're lost? What's the lost going to say? Come on, let's all remember back before we got saved. We heard the Holy Spirit of God before we got saved. We felt him calling. We were influenced by people around us that wanted to see us saved. They can say come. The Spirit can say come. But are you willing to say come? Come. And think about that. The salvation invitation must be accepted individually. You must agree to come. I like this. Number three, the salvation invitation is for whosoever will. I like that. Bible says in the last part of that, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You realize you're thirsty? Guess what? There's water available, the water of life. Whosoever will, the message of whosoever will is found all through the New Testament writings. Jesus is the greatest champion of the whosoever will message. Let me remind you that Jesus was not just sent into the world to die for the sins of the world, but he was sent here to preach and to proclaim the message of the gospel. Matthew 4:17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He was the Messiah. Yes, he was also a preacher. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach. You know what? He was the Savior. Yep, but he was also a preacher. Luke 4:43, and he said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. Yes, he was the Son of God. He was also a preacher. Matthew 4:23, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. Jesus was a preacher. You say, preacher, what was the message that Jesus preached? Yes, he preached the message of repentance, and we need it. He preached the message of the gospel. We need it. He preached much on the kingdom of God, or the gospel of the kingdom. And we need that. He emphasized, the emphasis of this morning is not just on what message he preached, but to whom it was preached. The message of repentance, the message of the gospel, the message of eternal life in heaven was not delivered to just, well, I'm glad to say this, a select few, but the message was delivered to whosoever will. Woo. That's why you find these red letter words. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in John chapter 4, Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give unto him shall never thirst. In John chapter 11, he had to deal with two hysterical women because of the death of their brother. And then said Martha to Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And she said, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Listen, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? John chapter 12, he said, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And that theme, that preaching theme, was carried into the book of Acts, where Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and he preached this sentence in his sermon, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then it's reiterated to his writing to the Christians in Rome in Romans chapter 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Folks, this salvation invitation, you don't have to wonder when you're out in the world, well, I wonder if it's for this person. Yeah, it's for that person. You don't have to wonder if you're sitting here, salvation invitation for me. Yes, it is. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know what? If you'll listen within, come on, if you'll listen within, you'll hear the Spirit say, come. You're listening without, and this preacher's doing the best he can to say, come, come, come. Let me tell you this, are you willing to say, come? Well, preacher, wait a minute, is it for me? Yes. The message is directed to whosoever will. Whosoever. God wants everyone to be saved. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Whosoever will. Will do what? Repent. Will do what? Believe. Will do what? Receive Christ as their Savior. Every one of us is given a free will. God wants you to choose him today. God will not create men to be robots and make us do anything. He's given us a free will. He wants you to choose him. If you're here without Christ, would you choose him today? Number 4, the salvation invitation, if accepted, will cost you nothing. Did you see that? Last point. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life, what? Freely. I hear the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper's spots and melt the heart of stone. For nothing good have I whereby the grace to claim. I'll wash my garments white in the blood of Calvary's lamb. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin hath left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Think about this. And when before the throne I stand in him complete, Jesus died my soul to save, my lips shall still repeat. Listen, folks, the invitation, you know what? It comes from within, the Spirit of God working in our hearts. You know what, church? Come on. It must come from without. As we go and leave here, in between services and between now and next Sunday, we need to be saying this word, come, 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 come. Let's get back to preaching on sin. Come on, and righteousness and judgment. So that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. Well, think about that. But that's not all. The salvation invitation is also for whosoever will. And you know what? If you accept it today, it will cost you absolutely nothing. You say, it's got to cost something, though. Jesus paid it all. You see, listen, if we had to do something to be saved, then we'd be able to walk around heaven the rest of all eternity bragging about what we did to get there. But you know what? The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. Nope. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, I don't think you're here by accident. You know what? God wants you to be saved today. If you're here without Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray you're listening to the Holy Spirit. You say, preacher, something's happening inside of me that I really can't describe. Let me tell you what that is. That's that spirit working within saying, you need to listen to this. You need to obey this. You need to accept this. Jesus loves you. God loves you. They proved it. He wants to forgive you. He wants to save you. He wants you to write your name in the book of life. He wants to give you an eternity in heaven and a mansion in heaven and to be there for all eternity. But wait a minute. If you're going to receive these things, you must accept the invitation. So every day I'm going through the mail and I'm doing this. And I just feel like that God, in 47 different ways in some people's life, are sending an invitation every month. And I feel like they're just standing there going like this with it. Are you going to throw it away? Or are you going to stop and accept it and read it and embrace it and say, I think I'm just going to now choose to receive the water of life freely? Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, help us. Lord, give us as Christians a burden again. Give us a concern for souls. Help us to join in this great, great effort to bring people to Jesus Christ. Help us to be the voices that are speaking without, knowing that your Holy Spirit will speak from within. Lord, I pray, dear God, if there be anyone here this morning that's never been saved, as you have spoken to them, Lord, and spoken powerfully to them, I pray, Lord, that they would put their pride aside, not worry what anybody thinks, what anybody will say, but step from their pew this morning, come to the nearest aisle, walk forward, meet Brother Brian here in the front, and just look at him and say, I need to be saved today. I need to be saved. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you would do a mighty work as the invitation, no doubt, is beginning in our other services. Lord, speak to hearts. Thank you that I can come before the church and say, this is a whosoever will. Thank you, Lord, I can come before people, no matter where I go, and say, hey, it won't cost you a thing. It's free. Lord, I pray that you would help someone accept you today. We pray these things in Jesus' name.